Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
4-0 start on a five-game roadie? Who are these guys? And boy, it is a lot more fun to watch than what we saw last year. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. Episode 103, it's October 27th, a Wednesday night, and we are recording live. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to be here on such damn good terms when you're talking Flames hockey, because it's been really good lately. It's been really, really good. And, you know, it's funny how we judge a team by 60 minutes. We get done with the Edmonton loss, and all of us Flames fans were kind of looking at each other like, we're in for a long year. And then we blow a lead against Anaheim, and it's like, yep, more of the same this year. Start writing it off. And then, you know, an impressive Sutter-like victory over Detroit, and I was like, maybe what's going on here, you know? And then we go in and beat the Caps, and it's like, okay, and then hammer the Rangers, and it's like, oh, we got a good hockey team. Take care of the Devils in a pretty good fashion, and are we really, really good, or what are we? What is this Flames team? And it's kind of what the scenario was before the season started when we were talking on the show. And there's a lot of unanswered questions, and I think it's still an unanswered question whether this team is a solid playoff team or not. I think we've been looking really, really good. I'm not over the moon yet because we're only six games in, but I'll take the start any day, and it's got me laughing and smiling. And speaking of laughing and smiling, I picked up the U.S. NHL Network feed Saturday afternoon. When Calgary was playing in Washington. Now, it wasn't the Washington announcers. It was the NHL Network crew announcers calling it from their home, which isn't terrible and it's not bad, but it was frustrating. They were calling Vladar Vladash for the whole first period, the whole second period. I turned it back to Sportsnet for the third. But, like, somebody didn't even correct this guy during the intermission, after the first intermission. And a few minutes into the second period, I had to navigate back to Sportsnet, which is a much better feed anyways. But just mind-blowing that someone wouldn't correct him and that in his pregame, research you do to call a National Hockey League game, that he wouldn't have picked up on this. Whew, crazy. This team's fun to watch. It's exciting now, and I'm still a tad bit apprehensive, but all's good so far, and that's fun because it is a whole hell of a lot more fun to talk to you about Flames hockey when things are good. Like, I can't imagine doing a Blackhawks podcast right now. I can't imagine. But kind of went through that a year and a half ago too, didn't we? Fan interaction. Please message me during the show if you got any comments, questions, and I'll do my best during the show to answer them. Another question I want input and response on tonight is, what is the biggest positive this season and what's the biggest negative that we've seen this season? Fan interaction is so important. We want as much interaction as we can. DM me on you can hit me up on Flames Unfiltered on Facebook. You can email me. You can go to flamesunfiltered.com, and there's a contact button there. You can DM me on Twitter, whatever you want. Get a hold of me. I'll send you off one of these easy Flames Unfiltered cards where you can click links to get right to the podcast, subscribe, everything like that. We appreciate all our listeners, and we do this because we have a damn good time talking Flames hockey. On this episode, we're going to talk about this amazing road trip, line consistency, and how the stars of this team have stepped up, and not just the stars, but how we've had amazing player production this year from Lindholm, Mangiapane, Markstrom, Gaudreau, and so many others, and so many positives to talk about. But we're going to talk about how that's all gelled together and how it's gelled with the Lions to create this four-game run that we're on. And it's definitely going to be a fun show. Not a lot of negative in this one. Then we're going to recap with some Flames news, news from the Pacific, and wrap with that listener question and input on the positives and negatives so far in Calgary this year. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Flames Unfiltered. Alrighty, Flames fans, it's time to do our game recaps, and we usually cruise through the game recaps, because most of you guys watch the damn game, right? I don't need to talk a lot about it, and we're going to do that again today. We'll go kind of fast, but there's some things I want to talk about, because there's been a lot of really good success stories on this four-game road trip that we've had. That's a five-game roadie. We're four games into it. So let's talk, let's rewind the tape, and let's go back to last Thursday night in Detroit, a game that I think most Flames fans coming in were like, well, we're coming off a bad loss to Anaheim in overtime. We gave away that game. You know, who's going to show up here? What are we going to do? We're on the first game of a road trip. And the Flames came out guns a-blazing. Lindholm scores, Mangiapane scores in the first. Nothing in the second. Tkachuk added one in the third. Markstrom picks up the shutout. And the Flames walk out and beat, at the time, a Detroit team that had a pretty damn good record, and escape with a 3-0 win in that one. Lindholm was, in my mind, flat out amazing in that game. And it was, you know, a point from Mangiapane too. I mean, those guys have been unstoppable. We roll into a Saturday afternoon game, actually a Saturday morning game for Calgary people. And it's, I hate Saturday afternoon games. I love the Saturday night hockey night in Canada. I like hockey at night better. I do. And going into this game, I think all eyes were going to be on, we were a little bit surprised because Vladar gets the start. And I didn't think that was a bad thing. I said that he would probably get 20 starts this year. And now we're probably on pace for that. Calgary comes out guns a-blazing, fires off three straight goals in the first period, a goal from Mangiapane, a goal from Lindholm, and another shorthanded goal from Lindholm that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show that was unreal. In the second, was not so good. The second period scared the living crap out of me because we raced out to a 3-0 lead, and I thought, can this get any better? And then Kuznetsov scores shorthanded. And then I can't remember who had the second one. And then Ovechkin scores at 18:03. And I'm like, oh, no, we're tied. Going to overtime. And in overtime, Elias Lindholm scores and saves the day. Captures the 2 points that we need. And this team heads to the Big Apple. Monday night, a matchup with the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Tanev gets on the board in the first. We're 1-0 Calgary after one. Mangiapane adds his fourth in the second period. We're 2-0. Coleman adds, actually, that went Rooney scored. It was 2-1. Then Coleman scored. Backlund scored. Mangiapane on a power play goal. 5 seconds just to add some into the gut of the Rangers. And it's 5-1, and a game that was very, very impressive. Just an all-around good game. Markstrom with another good performance. And all systems go, and everybody in Calgary is looking at this team a whole hell of a lot differently than we were heading into this road trip. Game 4 of 5 was last night in New Jersey. Calgary blows it up right away, gets right out to a quick start. Lucic, Mangiapane, Lindholm, and Mangiapane all score in the first period. We're up 4-0. And another thing is everything's looking good. Zacha adds one in the second for New Jersey, 4-1. Then Mercer adds one, 4-2. Kachuk scores 5-2. And then Zacha adds a power play goal late, 5-3 win. Calgary gets out of the game with another victory. Vladar gets the start. And Vladar's got two starts in the first six games. Two wins. Now, I originally said that Vladar would get 20 starts this year. And if he could win 10 of them, we're golden. We're golden. Well, he's 20% of the way there already. I think he's been good. I think he had a, you know, he had a screw up last night for New Jersey's first goal. And his second one, his mask was undone and he should have flipped it off. And even if they gave him a penalty, he should have flipped it off, but didn't, and learned a lesson. And I think he learned a lesson on both of them. And all in all, I think he's been really, really good. And most importantly, when you're looking at your backup, another win for him. So we're sitting really, really good. This road trip, one game left tomorrow night, Thursday night in Pittsburgh, a Pittsburgh team that's depleted with COVID and injuries, an opportunity to take this one step further. One thing that did happen last night that's getting a lot of talk today is PK Subban and his slew foot on Milan Lucic. He picks up a $5,000 fine on the play. And I'm starting to wonder what's going through Subban's head. And is it starting to get into his head and sink in that he's just not that good anymore? Pretty much a non-factor last night. And if you're going to cheap shot and slew foot somebody, probably don't want to do that to Lucic. And you sure as hell in the preseason, he did it to Reeves. And they're in your division. Like, he's going to kick your ass. He's going to see you multiple times, and you're going to have to deal with Ryan Reeves. I don't know why you'd do that, and sure as hell don't know why you'd pick Lucic and Reeves to slew foot, but I guess sometimes people aren't all that smart. The good news is on this road trip, 17-7 is what the Flames have outscored their opponents. That's flat out amazing. We have not trailed in a game since game one against Edmonton. That is unreal. Yes, I know we lost to Anaheim, but we never trailed in the game until the game was over. It's unreal. That is a huge streak. Let's see how long we can keep this going, and if we can keep getting goaltending and timely goal scoring. I mean, the sky's the limit, isn't it? And you know, when you look at this road trip too, a lot of people going into it were like, well, Detroit's not very good. Well, they actually were really good. They were 2-0-1 going into this. Washington was 3-0-1. The Rangers were 4-1-1. The Devils were 3-1. That's an overall record of 12-2-3, and the Flames ran the table. It's pretty impressive. Flames overall record as it stands tonight, 4-1-1. And that is definitely, definitely something that in Calgary, we got to be over the moon happy with the way things are going so far. All right, moving out of the game recaps, let's talk about how the Stars, not even just the Stars, but how the key players, most of them have stepped up. Let's start it right away. Let's talk about Lindholm. And I don't even know, like, there is so many good things to say about Elias Lindholm right now. He's proven that he can play the center spot. He's also proven that he's a coach's dream because he can play the center. He can play good in the wings. He's good defensively. I mean, he's everything you can dream of in a player right at the moment. He's currently, before tonight's action, I think I heard Ovechkin scored tonight, but he's before tonight's action. Him and Andrew Mangiapane were tied for the league lead in goals with 7. Now, I know, we're 6 games in, we're way early. But even at this point of the year, when's the last time you remember seeing 2 Flames in the top 3 in scoring? I don't know that I can ever remember that. I honestly don't know that I can ever remember that. That's crazy good. Lindholm's goal versus Washington on Saturday was one of the best goals I've ever seen. Seriously, one of the best. Busts his ass down, knocks a defender off the puck, takes it away, comes in, scores top shelf, critical goal, and then wraps it up and seals the deal with a game winner in overtime. What a clutch performance. Another clutch performance is Coleman. How good of an acquisition has this been so far? Now, I know. I'm the biggest, what? Give it time, just make sure it all pans out. But he's been amazing too. His night against the Rangers, a goal, a primary assist, 8 shots, 11 shot attempts, 6 scoring chances. Unreal. It's just unreal play. He's great defensively. He's everything you can dream of. And I love that line. I love it. Mangiapane, scoring machine, just absolutely tearing the league up. The bread man has a goal, it seems like, every game. He's scored in every single game this year, and he's scored at his scoring streak dates back to last season. I don't know the exact amount of games. And then you pin that in with his success at the World Championships, winning the MVP. This guy's playing with a load of confidence right now, and everything he touches seems to be going in the net. Markstrom, you can't shake a stick at this guy either. He's in 4 starts. You know, he's 2-1-0 and in an overtime loss. 1.99 goals against average, 0.934 save percentage. He stays on that pace. It's deadly. That's going to be really, really good. And you look just across the board. You know, you got Johnny Gaudreau, who's got 8 assists. I think 6 of them are primary. 6 or 7 are primary assists in 6 games. He's yet to find the net. But that's crazy, crazy good. Mangiapane, we talked about him earlier, 7 goals in 6 games. Dylan Dubé has got 4 assists. Elias Lindholm, 7 goals, 1 assist, 8.6 games. Whoa. Shooting percentage of 38.9, and Mangiapane sits at 36.8. Now, we know, and we got to be realistic, that number is going to come down. But the positives is Tkachuk's not going right now. Monahan is... Gaudreau's really not going scoring-wise. He's going, you know, assist-wise. He's really actually controlling play a lot. He's doing really, really well. He's back-checking better than I've ever seen him in his career. But you think about that, and you start pairing that up. When Mangiapane and Lindholm's numbers start falling back, if the other ones can come too, you know, maybe we don't have a scoring problem in Calgary like we talked about all preseason and worried about all preseason. Obviously, we're not out of the woods yet, but we're making headway. And I think one of the things is, too, that when you play a system of solid defense like the Flames have been playing, it creates offensive opportunities. You know, you look at all the really good teams and the teams that go on to win Stanley Cups, most of them are extremely solid on the back end, which in turn creates offensive opportunities. Because when you're good on the back end, you have the puck more. The more you have the puck, more chances you're going to have, and you get guys hot like Mangiapane and Lindholm are right now, and the sky's the limit. Blake Coleman, 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points in 5 games. It's good. We're off to a really, really good start in Calgary, and it's because of a complete buy-in and playing the Sutter way. And now we talked about all these star players. We also got to give Sutter a little bit of credit. It's his system now. It was his preseason. These guys are in shape. These guys are playing his system, and things are clicking. And when things are clicking, everybody's getting along, and there's no turmoil. But so far, so good. If you'd have told me that we'd be sitting where we are right now, I would have, number one, said you're probably crazy. And number two, I would have told you I'm elated. It's been good. Let's keep it going. Let's see how Thursday night goes in Pittsburgh. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, this has really, really, really been a good start. One of the keys this year to this good start that we keep harping on here tonight, but it's a good positive show. We need that in Calgary, don't we? Is line consistency. Now, last year, I don't know that we went four straight periods, much less four straight games, with the same lineup. We have seen the same lineup, minus the goaltending coming in and out. We have seen four straight games with the same lines. And I know, yes, it's because we're winning, but Sutter has also admitted, and players have also talked about it in the media in the recent weeks, about how it's really hard if you don't get to play together for extended periods of time, how hard it is to build that consistency and that gel that a line needs. And Sutter's giving the players the opportunity to do that. Let's talk about these lines a little bit. And right where we're sitting offensively now, on the forward lines, we've got Gaudreau and Tkachuk on the wings, centered by Lindholm, which has been an amazing line so far, as Lindholm leads the league in goals. Gaudreau clicking on assists. He hasn't found the net yet. His shooting percentage is at zero, and he's had a lot of opportunities, just hasn't been able to bury one. Tkachuk is struggling in my mind. He just doesn't look like the Matthew Tkachuk we grew to love the first two seasons. I hope that that's just a blip in the radar. That is a concern for me. Albeit this line is going really, really well. Line two is Backlund centering, Coleman on the left, Pitlick on the right. Pitlick, I loved him the 6 minutes I saw in preseason. Then he got hurt, and then we didn't get to see him. And then he came back, and I'm like, oh, he just doesn't seem to have found his groove. And now in the last two games, I've been ecstatic with the way he's playing. He's found his groove. He's playing rock solid, doing everything you need to do offensively and defensively, and that's another really good sign. He brings, you know, good size and good speed, and is working really, really well with Backlund and Coleman. And Coleman talked a lot about how this is a similar line to the, I believe it was Barclay, Gaudreau, Coleman, and I'm trying to blank. Was it not Point, but Yanni Gourde line that he played with in Tampa Bay. And obviously we don't have the high-end talent that Tampa Bay had, but when Blake Coleman feels like this line is similar in the aspect of how they play to that line, I mean, that's great. That's great praise. So I like the way that line has been going. Backlund got a key goal against the Rangers. He's finding his groove. He's just a top-notch two-way center, and that line's been really good. The third line has been Dylan Dubé centering. He's getting the chance at center. Andrew Mangiapane on the left and Byron Richie on the right-hand side. And I don't mind Richie's plays so far. I love his big body. He busts his ass out there. He's been fine. Dubé has been good at center. He's had a few moments where I was like, they had a couple games at the beginning of the year. I was like, oh, this team's not, or this line's not clicking like they need to be. I feel like they've come out of that funk, and I think the hard work that Dubé and Mangiapane do has paid dividends on this line, and it's been working pretty well. The fourth line is Sean Monahan is centering Milan Lucic and Trevor Lewis. Lucic and Lewis, I mean, this is just those two guys are fourth line wingers that just do their job. They just do their job. Sean Monahan centering the fourth line's got me, I don't know, I got mixed feelings on it. It sucks because I'm a Sean Monahan fan, but you know, he doesn't deserve to be any higher. And this falls back onto Sutter, and you know, for him to have Zadorov sitting in the press box with his salary and Monahan's salary, centering the fourth line, that's about $10 million roughly, a little under that, eating popcorn or center in the fourth line. That takes balls for a coach to do that. Now, I'm interested to see how that plays out because, boy, we could use that $10 million in other places, like on a right wing, because, you know, that is one spot. I think if you say there's a weakness, I would say that the right wing might need a little bit of help. But how do you bitch at these lines when they keep winning? On the back end, we've been watching Hanifin and Anderson, Shillington and Tanev. Shillington's been really good in my mind. Valimaki and Gabranson. Gabranson continues. I thought he struggled a little bit against New Jersey, but all in all, the other games, I thought he's been great. He's been fine. Valimaki has his moments still, but not probably. I think he seems like he's becoming more comfortable and confident. I think confidence was just a real, real thorn in his side to start this year. He just seemed to desperately lack confidence. And there's nothing worse than not being confident in what you have going on out there. And that, and it scared me to have him out there lacking that much confidence. But I feel like as the games have gone, I thought he got better in the Washington game and then better in the New York Rangers game, and had a couple gaffes in the New Jersey game. But after they got up to a 4-0 lead, I think it's not uncommon to see that. And there was a couple problems and poor decision making in that New Jersey game. But all in all, I think Valimaki's, you know, been just fine. Well, you look at that defensive pairing, and that leaves Zadorov sitting in the press box. And, you know, he earned that spot because he was god-awful. But I can't help but think that Sutter's going to give him a shot here real soon. And I wouldn't even be surprised if we didn't see Valimaki or Shillington come out and Zadorov come in Thursday against Pittsburgh. I don't know. I'm going on a gut feeling. I know Sutter can't have him sitting up there forever. We have to either, you know, determine what the future game plan is, albeit it's only been four games. But I see him getting back into the lineup real soon. And I'm not saying those other guys were bad or deserved to be out. I just think in the fifth game of a road trip, that would not surprise me all that much. Now, if I was going to make any changes to this line, what would I do? And I don't know that I would make any right now, but I'm going to throw one idea that I have out there. I look at the right wing position and I question it just a little bit. So my only thought was that maybe I would have Dubé move to that right wing and Monahan slide up into that. So it would be Mangiapane or Monahan centering Dubé on the right, Mangiapane on the left, bringing Richardson, who's healthy now and has been in the press box, into that fourth line center, centering Lucic and Lewis. And that would pull Richie out of the lineup just to see if Monahan can find his groove playing with a guy as hot as Andrew Mangiapane is. I don't know if that'll happen, but that's just a thought that I had. I don't think this team owes Monahan anything anymore. I think we're starting to learn, and I think management's starting to believe that maybe this is the Monahan that we have from here on out. And I do believe in my heart that they've tried to move him. But right now, when you look at his $6.5 million cap hit, I don't know if they'd be able to move him just to move the money and what we'd get in return. Maybe a reclamation project for a reclamation project. I don't know. Maybe the Sam Bennett that we couldn't get him going in Calgary, and now he's kicking ass in Florida, might give some GMs the thought that, well, maybe the same would happen to Monahan. I don't know. We don't owe Monahan top line minutes just because his name's Sean Monahan and was a 30 goal scorer in the past. But I have a hard time believing that he's going to spend 82 games on the fourth line, or even if that's healthy for the team. So maybe Richardson slide into that, Monahan moving up a line and getting with the Mangiapane, Dubé gets him clicking, and we have three solid lines of depth. I don't know. That's all going to be interesting and very interesting to see how it plays out. I can't tell you how happy I've been, though, that we've finally had line consistency in Calgary. Probably one of my biggest frustrations with Jeff Ward was the fact that it's just every night you did not know. And it could be like literally 5 minutes into a game, and if we hadn't scored or things weren't going our way, it was fire up the blender and who the hell knows where it's going to come out. And it was damn frustrating. And I think it was frustrating for the players, and probably played a big role in why Jeff Ward's not the head coach in Calgary anymore. All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. We had a couple milestones this week. Johnny Gaudreau gets an assist on the Elias Lindholm hat trick winner in Washington. And that was Gaudreau's 500th career point in 524 games. That's quite an honor. And Gaudreau's been good this year. And, you know, I'm eating crow a little bit because I've been a critic of his. But I'm also honest hockey and honest enough to say that, like, he's proven me wrong this year so far. And now we obviously aren't to the postseason yet. But so far, so good. I'm happy with this play. He's back-checked more this year than I have seen him back-check in a long, long time. So it's a hell of a milestone. I had to laugh when they were talking about who was getting the puck. And Lindholm's like, well, Gaudreau, it's a milestone for him. And Gaudreau's like, Lindholm can have it. And Gaudreau's like, oh, we'll just give it to a fan. And I thought that was pretty cool. Shillington had a milestone. I believe that was the game against New Jersey. It was 100 games played for Oliver Shillington. And this made me laugh because I feel like this year, right now, we finally said, maybe this guy fits on this roster. He's played 100 games. That is so surprising. I mean, I feel like he's played about 40, but he's at 100 already. And I like what I've seen from Oliver Shillington so far. I love his skating ability. It's always been, you know, his most talked about upside, but unfortunately found a way to, you know, throw a pizza up the middle every single night and create an offensive opportunity for, you know, the opponent. And this year so far, so good. A couple little things here and there, but as a whole, I mean, how do you get too upset right now with Oliver Shillington? Let's take a little look at the AHL Stockton and a little update on how they're doing so far this year. Jacob Pelletier leading the team with 5 points in 4 games. Rizicka and Phillips, 4 points apiece. Walker Dewar, the guy we loved in preseason, 2 goals in 4 games. Godden, two games, two assists. He just got sent down from Calgary. Kirkland, 3 goals in 4 games. Francis, has 0 points in 4 games. Wolf's been dynamite to start. He's 2-0-1, allowing 5 goals on 102 shots. Save percentage of .951 and a 1.65 goals against average. And, I look at his size, and I try not to judge goalies on size because I think it happens just way too frequently. But, you know, it is one of those things where I just almost – keep thinking, golly, is this guy going to falter? But he just doesn't. He keeps going and keeps doing the right things to make the saves that he needs to make. And it's good to see him, you know, succeeding like he has been so far. Let's take a little bit of a look at the Pacific Division and look at the standings. And I'm pulling up an updated one right now. Edmonton obviously leads away 5-0 to start it off, 10 points. Who saw that? I thought Edmonton was going to be good this year, but I didn't see 5-0. But tonight they're playing actually right now, just getting underway. Philadelphia is in Edmonton. That'll be a good game to watch later tonight. Calgary, last time I looked at the standings, I'm serious, a week ago we were in dead last. And now we sit in second place, 6 games, 9 points, 4-1-1. That is a great start. San Jose, still somewhat surprising. Coming off 2 losses in a row, they sit in third with 8 points, 4-2-0. Vancouver sits in fourth after a loss last night against Minnesota. They are 3-3-1, 7 points. Seattle gets a win last night. They're 2-4-1, 5 points in 7 games. Anaheim also has 5. They're in 6th with a 2-4-1 record. Vegas still sits in 7th. And how long was this struggle bus going to go? Because I don't see it lasting a whole lot longer. They're 2-4-0, 4 points. And LA holding up the basement at 1-4-1, 3 points for a young LA team that probably won't sit there very long either. Some little bits of news from the division. Travis Hamonic, defenseman in Vancouver, has reported after a strange COVID absence, he's been sent to Abbotsford for conditioning and probably won't condition very long since Tucker Pullman looked like he got hurt last night in the Minnesota-Vancouver game, which was a hell of a good hockey game to watch last night. LA defenseman Drew Doughty suffered a knee injury this week against Minnesota. Looked like no ligament damage, but we'll see how long he is out. The Kraken get their first game last Saturday night at home, hockey night in Canada. Vancouver in the house. Failed to win that game as Vancouver comes back, but last night they beat Vegas. I believe it was, yeah, it was Vegas. Was it? No, Montreal, sorry. They beat Montreal last night at the Climate Pledge Arena, and that place was off the charts loud last night. So it'll be interesting to see how they continue to roll and if, you know, just what it's going to be like going into Seattle and playing. It's sure still fun to watch Giordano play. He's such a good hockey player and such an important part of Calgary still. So good to see him having a good start to the year. Let's go to a listener question and let's see if we got any here from the live comments that I can talk about. Justin checking in. Good to see you, Justin. He put that he thinks it's Shillington's year for an almost full season. You know what? So far, yeah, Justin, he's earned that. I mean, he's off to a really good start. And I think what he brings to this team that is just so critical is that his offensive skating ability. And it's always been, you know, this guy's not that old and he's been a pro forever. It's his skating style opens up so many doors for him. And he's been really, really good decision-wise this year, comparatively speaking to previous years. I feel a lot safer with him out there. But, you know, I look at this defensive core and what he brings in this speed and the puck moving is so what this defense needs right now. So I think he's going to play. I wouldn't doubt if he doesn't play 75% of the games this year. And you know what, guys? Injuries are going to happen too. So there's a good chance that this is the year that Shillington gets over that hump and we consider him an everyday NHL player. Any more listener questions, fire them off to me. We're going to talk a little bit about my questions on who I thought is having the biggest positive impact to the start of the season and then biggest negative impact to the start of the season. And I know it's six games in, so a lot can change. And I'm not saying that that's going to be the way it is the rest of the way. But positive-wise, my biggest surprises have been Gabranson. After his preseason, I was like, oh, my God, how are we going to survive with this guy on the back end? And it was Zadorov not looking good either. I'm like, that's two huge weak links. One of those weak links is eating popcorn in the press box, and Gabranson looks like an everyday, you know, top six defenseman that I honestly, do you guys feel scared when he steps onto the ice? Because I don't. I think he's been really, really good. And boy, is that a relief, and that's been a huge positive. And Andrew Mangiapane, of course, I knew and kind of thought maybe this would be a year that he took another step. I was his critic last year. I thought a lot of you Flames fans had him overblown a little bit. And I kind of waited for him to calm, and then he went to the World Championships and made me look like a fool, which I was pleasantly surprised to look like a fool. And I wondered how that would translate to this year, and boy, it's been amazing how it's translated so positively. So good to see him as a big surprise. My negatives to start the season, obviously Monahan. I think he'd be on every single Flames fan's list. I had him pegged. I know you guys go back three shows ago. I had him pegged to have a bounce back year this year. And, so far, not so good. As Monahan still continues to struggle. And, hopefully, we figure out the best way to utilize him, and see what happens there, I guess. I don't know. That is a question mark that's going to have to get solved this year. Matthew Tkachuk is also going to be on my negative list. I don't think he's been horrendous. But I still wait and wish and hope that I see that Matthew Tkachuk that I saw 3 years ago. I don't know why it disappeared or how it even disappeared, but I do feel like I'm just clamoring for hope that he can come back and be like he used to be, because he was so effective when he was losing his mind. Is that a bad way to put it? It just seems like the more he gets engaged in the game, and the more he, I guess, loses his mind, the better he plays, the more effective he gets, and the more points that go up, and the more hits that happen, and the more he takes the opponents out of the game mentally.
So I hope hopefully both those guys can get things turned around. Let's pull to a few listener questions. Yeah, Justin's agreeing with, both the Gabranson and Zadorov, Gabranson being a positive surprise. Adam fires up. Good to hear from you, Adam. How do you feel about the D pairing compared to last year? Are we as strong as last year? I feel like we aren't. Numbers don't lie. I think one of the problems all of us fans have, and I'm as guilty as you, and I am sure Adam does it and Justin does it and everybody else that's listening does it, is, we'll pencil lines down. I know I do it I do it 2-3 times a week. I pencil lines down and I look at them, and a lot of times how it looks on paper though doesn't translate. And an example of that is, I believe it was 4 years ago, I looked at Calgary's defense. 4 or 5. I looked at Calgary's, not the year we won the Western Conference, the year prior to that. I looked at Calgary's defense and I was like, oh my goodness. I think on paper we have the absolute best defense in the NHL. And I wasn't the only one saying that. Lots of people were saying that. And we were not good. 2 years ago, I thought on paper we looked really, really good on defense. Didn't pan out. Brody struggled. It didn't work. I looked at this year's and I thought, I'm worried. I'm worried how we look on defense. It just doesn't look good on paper. You know, this guy has this that I worry about. This guy has this that I worry about. I watched this in preseason. It's like, I preached the have patience with the Zadorov, have patience with the Zadorov. I didn't have patience with Gabranson. I'm like, this guy's got to, we have to find a way to get rid of him. And then the season starts and it's like, all right, I like what Gabranson's doing. Again, the next night, I liked what he's doing. And then again, the next night, and again, the next night, Zadorov didn't look good. He goes up to the press box and it's like, you know, does it really matter what we look like on paper anymore? Because I agree with you, Adam, on paper, I agree with you. I don't think we look as good as we did last year, but on the ice through 6 games, albeit only 6 games. Is there a comparison? I think it's been a lot better. Justin fires in with a question. Monahan is pegged to be more of a defensive forward, so he'll likely be a third line center for the rest of the season unless someone else gets injured or gets really cold. Well, he isn't ever been a third line center. He's always been the number one center, one that I've always been a critic of and said, you know, he's probably a better number two line center in the NHL. Now, he took and made a focus last year to be a more defensive player. So I don't disagree with you, Justin, but that was his goal, was to become better defensively, which should be the goal of every player. But you shouldn't have to sacrifice your offensive talent to do that. The fact of the matter is, 3 years ago, Sean Monahan was money in the slot, and he's not anymore. As a matter of fact, he's hardly getting those shots off in the slot. And having him pegged on the third line, which is albeit probably as high as he'll go this year, unless something really drastically changes, that's a hell of an expense, a $6.5 million, being a third or fourth line center. This is really important that Monahan gets this figured out, or the team figures out how to best utilize him. It'll be interesting. It'll be really, really interesting to see how that all pans out. Adam Smith, what do you got here? He's saying that the defense is better because the forwards are helping out more. I know, I don't disagree. It's the whole Sutter system, right? Right, guys? It's the whole Sutter system. Defense first, accountability, personal accountability. But does it matter? As long as we're not allowing goals and we're winning hockey games, I don't really care what it looks like on paper. Do you guys care what it looks like on paper? Or if everybody says, yeah, we're better defensively or we're worse defensively? Like, it really only matters in the win column. And we're winning 75% of our games right now, albeit I keep having to say this in the show, 6 games. I mean, even if we can keep close to that pace up this year, we're going to far exceed expectations and we're going to make the playoffs, right? I don't care how we get there, who we get there with. I think that's one of the misconceptions and one of the frustrations I have with the Calgary fan base. And I'm not picking on the Calgary fan base because I'm part of it. But, you know, we oftentimes worry about how we look getting there. Like, I don't care if Johnny Gaudreau is on the team or off the team, or if Matthew Tkachuk's on the team or off the team, as long as we're winning. Like, if we win a cup next year and Johnny Gaudreau's not part of that, like, I'm good with that because I want to freaking win. I'm tired of the Calgary thing where it's like, we're okay just making the playoffs. I'm not saying that's what you guys are saying. I'm just saying that, like, I'm not worried about people's feelings anymore or players' feelings anymore. I want to win. And I think that's how Sutter is, and that's probably why I'm such a big Sutter fan. It's because he creates accountability. And when teams are accountable and accountable for each other, you win hockey games. It's and so far so good. It works. But you know, you're not going to win being an individual. And Justin, you know, just pointed that out. We're not going to win being individuals. We're going to win being a team. Thanks, guys, for all the comments. You know, join us every Wednesday night as we do this. There'll be a couple of variations that the Flames are playing. We shuffle days here and there, but for the most part, we do this at 8 o'clock Mountain Time Wednesday evenings. Get your questions. If you have a question through the week, fire it to me on Twitter. I'll save it. I'll answer it on the show because I love the fan interaction. I appreciate each and every one of you guys listening. And it's my favorite part of the show is when I get to answer your questions.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, guys, we're back. Let's preview what we got ahead, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening tomorrow night. Game previews. Thursday night, October 28th, we got Calgary heads into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh currently 3-1 and 2-8 points, 5-1 loss to Tampa Bay on Tuesday night. Philadelphia comes to the Saddle Dome Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. October 30th, night before Halloween, should be a lot of costumes. 2-1-1, the Flyers are 5 points. Their last game was last Saturday, 4-2 loss to Florida. They are currently playing right now against the Edmonton Oilers, just a few miles north of here. Tuesday night, the homestand continues as Nashville comes to town. Nashville 3-4-1, 6 points. 3-1 winners last Tuesday against San Jose. Those are the games that lie ahead before our next show next Wednesday night. We have one more thing scheduled this week is tomorrow night. We're back. Hot Mic Game of the Week. Or not? It's not the Game of the Week anymore. It's the Hot Mic Watch Party. You can join me tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, when the Calgary Flames head into Pittsburgh. We will watch a game together. And here's how it works. We have contests along the way. And not only do you get just good fan interaction, good Calgary Flames talk, a lot of fun, some laughs. It's easy to do. Download the Hot Mic app. You get on there, look, search Flames Hockey. It'll come up. You click on the game. You can watch it with. Communicate back and forth. It's free. It's easy. It's fun. And win prizes. We have a first goal hat trick super challenge, where if you select the first goal scorer and get it right, you're automatically going to get a team set of hockey cards. And we're going to follow that up with entering you in a contest to win a variety of prizes this year with some Flames Unfiltered hats, some Flames Unfiltered shirts, and a $100 gift card to shopnhl.ca to get yourself some cool Flames gear. Not only do we give cards to each night's winner of the first goal contest, we're also going to give whoever has the best input, the most input, good back and forth hockey talk, we're going to send you some hockey cards too. I got some really, really cool Flames cards to give away this year. A Dylan Dubé jersey card. Yeah, we're giving it all away this year on the Hot Mic Flames Unfiltered Watch Party. It starts tomorrow night when Calgary visits Pittsburgh. Tell all your Flames fans, friends, and yeah, get as many people on there as we can. Have a little bit of fun talking to Flames hockey. We're back with this show next Wednesday night as we are going to talk about hopefully A streak continuing with some home wins. Wouldn't that be fun? Whew, this road trip has been, you know, most of the time when we go on this Big East road trip, it seems grueling. And this time when you're winning, it's not grueling. It's fun. Hopefully tomorrow night we continue that road luck and bring that luck back home Saturday night when the Flyers come to town. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Get on over to Apple Podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out. We appreciate it so much. Have a great week, Flames fans. And, yeah, keep cheering on those Flames. We're back next week to talk more Flames hockey.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again, and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.